What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of The Salty Show. I'm your co-host, Timmy, two times in the house. What's up, everybody?
Hello, hello, hello. This is Heidi.
Hey, what's up? This is Jules.
Hey, everybody. This is Jeremy, and welcome to our world.
Oh, shoot, Salty Show. Yo, me and you in the same time zone. What's up? I'm in the NYC. Yes, you up in Pittsburgh, PA. What's good, man? What's Gucci?
Oh, man. There's a thunderstorm going out here. And I just got a severe thunderstorm warning, so wish me luck. Welcome to another episode of The Salty Show, where we talk about everything from politics to pop culture and everything in between. On this episode, we're going to dive deep into the heart-wrenching and important film that we all just watched. It's called Sound of Freedom. It's not just another movie, though. It's a powerful testament to the harrowing reality faced by over 2 million children who are trapped in modern-day slavery. Join us as we uncover the true story of Tim Ballard, founder and CEO of Operation Underground Railroad, whose mission is to rescue these innocent souls. But make no mistake, this film isn't just about Tim Ballard. It's about the urgency to save innocent children and shed light on the unimaginable horrors they endure. All right, so let's get into this. So I'm going to go over some movie facts here. Now, I think, Tim, you sent me this, which kind of reveals where we are as a society today, because we are being told that certain things are popular and certain things we should avoid, right? And yeah, it was definitely you, Tim. So it was, I saw this chart, maybe it was Posobiec or one of those guys, and he was going lining out everything that's been happening, say, for the last 2 years, right? So this week, Sound of Freedom hits $100 million at the box office, a movie that cost, what, $14 million to make. And also, Jason Aldean just rolled out a song called Try That in a Small Town that just hit number one, that talks about, you know, all that BLM ride crap and, you know, and now the Hollywood and, you know,
Antifa riots.
Yeah. All that, you know, because exactly they're saying it's racist or whatever, but we know what he's talking about. We're not idiots. Also, Disney, you know, just this last few months has lost $800 million on their last eight movies that they released. And what else happened? We talked about this all on the show. Bud Light and Target have lost billions because they've gone woke. So I think one thing is clear, that the silent majority is real, folks. And all these things that we're being told that, oh, no, you got to ignore all that. That's just noise. Oh, that's just QAnon shit. It's a lie. And this movie proves it. And to Tim's point, there is a...
Stop it.
What? Stop what?
She's got her QAnon.
I missed that.
Oh, Lordy.
No, but
I get my tinfoil hat.
No, I think the important thing to make clear here is that there is a silent majority. And let's get into the movie. And the movie covered something that I think is every parent's worst nightmare. And it's become a stark reality for many, too many families out there. Yet amidst all this heartbreak, Sound of Freedom manages to kindle a glimmer of hope, reminding us of the resilience and determination of those fighting for change. I think the films, you know, as we watched it, right, we'll give our reviews here. But me and Tim and Samantha, we went to watch it, and I was like, I was kind of surprised at the quality of the movie. First of all, the script, the cinematography, some of those shots, the compelling story that obviously is the true story, and also the music that was chosen. Again, I'm approaching this critically, right, as a movie critic, or, you know, trying to somebody, how would somebody perceive it outside of, you know, just wanting to get the message out about the issue that the movie covers. I think the film was done very well. What do you guys think?
I agree.
It was a good movie.
It was very well done. I agree.
And I don't know if we want to talk about this now or later, but
go ahead.
I think the part that really, as we were watching it, I felt a whole bunch of emotions, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There was sadness, there was anger, there was just, mm-hmm. you know, frustration, right? It's just all there.
Yep.
And the one thing that, I'm trying to figure out how to word this. It's it was more disturbing to me the fact that this movie was made 5 years ago and was deliberately, I mean, there's no other way to put it. It was deliberately put on a shelf because of what it was saying. And that's the part that really bothers me.
Well, yeah. No, I'm with you, Jeremy.
To that point, though, it is hard to say it was deliberately, right? Because Fox did own the rights, right? But then, right as soon as they bought the rights, or they had the rights, then they get it bought out by Disney. Then the pandemic, right? So it's hard to, it was so close, right? Because just because you bought rights to a movie doesn't mean you're going to make it the next year, right? You got to get funding for it. You got to review it. You got to get investors, all that stuff, right?
They said it was made in 2018. That was before.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It was made in 18. Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to be released in 18.
Right. Yeah. They sold it to Fox, and then Fox went through that buyout with Disney.
Yep.
Right. And then when Disney got Fox, or when they figured it all out and they got all the rights to everything, then the pandemic happened. So then, you know, nobody was releasing movies really during the pandemic. Then 21 hits. And then, you know, the whole woke movement. So, of course, Disney was going to scrap it. And at that point, that's when Ballard and them, they were trying to figure out how to buy it back. Right. Right. And that's where they approached Angel Studios. I think Steve Bannon threw money into it to get it over to Angel. He said he saw the script in like
who bought it back?
Angel Studios.
Yeah, the studio.
I'm gonna say this, Tim, because so to Jeremy's point, to your point, you know, I was thinking about this as I was researching the movie and looking up, you know, about what everybody's saying. And I was thinking, well, why is Hollywood so against it, right? And one of the reasons that something very interesting that I found out was one of the reasons why they might be is because, again, of the studio, Angel Studios, which is owned, if you guys didn't know this, it's owned by Mormons, and the majority of the staff are Christians. So it's a company that became a byproduct of a company that was formerly known as, I don't know if you guys remember VidAngel. VidAngel was big in the Christian community because it allowed, you know, viewers to filter out a lot of the explicit content, like, you know, violence, sex, cursing, and all that stuff. And what the companies like, you know, Fox, Disney, Lucasfilms, all those big ones, Warner Brothers, they ended up suing VidAngel. And because they didn't like the idea that their movies, the propaganda or the shit that they were trying to feed the public was not getting through VidAngel. It became very popular again, around the Christian community. So what did they do? They decided to sue them, and VidAngel tried to fight them for years, but obviously with the money that these big companies are throwing, you know, in lawsuits, eventually the byproduct of that became, Angel Studios. So what did the owners decide to do? They said, well, since Hollywood doesn't want us to, you know, make these movies, and, you know, they're mad that we're shutting down their propaganda, they decided to create their own studio, their own distributing company. And they're known for the, again, big around the Christian community, the show called The Chosen. So then, you know, with the movie Sound of Freedom, Fox helps create the movie, to Tim's point. Fox gets bought out by Disney. All right. And Disney decides to shelve the movie and hopes that nobody's going to make fuss about it. But again, to Tim's point, it took producers a long time, 5 years, to get the rights back. And then when they got the rights back, they were wondering, well, who are we going to get to distribute it? And then finally Angel Studios came out. Now think about that. The company that all these big companies wanted to destroy is the one that put out this movie. And now this movie is beating out Disney's own Indiana Jones. You know, supposedly it was going to be a huge movie. A theater, if you look at the numbers per theater, Sound of Freedom is blowing it out of the park.
Half the theaters.
Yeah.
And with half the theaters.
Right.
And here's the thing. Half the theaters, there was no marketing. This has all been word of mouth, basically, and through all the, you know, the conservative, you know, or the independent media outlets, right? So you have all them, because it's not just even conservative independent media outlets. You have the liberal side. You have like the Jordan Petersons. You have Rogan. You have all those guys pushing this. You know, I think even Kennedy was pushing the movie and was talking about it. So Dana White mentioned it in the right after the UFC fight. He said, I'm buying tickets for my entire company to go see.
Trump just had a screening for it. They're all promoting it.
Yeah. He sat there. Trump sat in the front row for 2 hours watching this movie.
Yeah.
Just amazing. You know, like, I think about him watching the movies, like my dad.
Yeah. You know, it blows my mind also how, going back to Jeremy's comment, you know, when we said we were going to talk about this movie and I'm like, you know, I need to go see it. I'm like, okay, when we do this podcast today, if none of us had some sort of anger or some sort of that even thinking about it makes me want to cry, because the movie was made in such a way that, first of all, I went in there thinking that it was going to be a low budget movie, right? Because I didn't want to be like, oh my God, this is awful, right? But the way they told the story with how the scenes were made, where you knew something bad was going to happen, it just tore you to pieces without having to have, you know, Hollywood show half of what they do.
Right.
You know, and
Jules, it's a true story. It's a true story. Exactly. And here's an opportunity for Hollywood. I mean, you guys remember the movie Taken? Right. I mean, there was a great movie, you know, nobody, but that's all fiction. Now, if you think about this movie is almost, I mean, there's some parts that they changed, just the locations, but almost, I was shocked because I was looking at Tim Ballard's interviews where he's talking about, all this is real. Every, you know, the necklace that the little, I'm sorry, folks, there's going to be spoilers here. So if you haven't seen the movie.
At this point, it's spoilers.
I know, but I just want to make sure that people know there's going to be spoilers. So if you want to watch the movie, just tune out now because there's going to be spoilers. Anyway, when the little girl gives, you know, the kid the necklace and it says Timoteo, you know, in the biblical verse, you know, I was like, that can't be real. And then when I came home, you know, I was like researching and I'm like, oh, this is real. This happened. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, you think, you know, sometimes was it a coincidence or are there certain things? I believe, guys, honestly, like the amount of evil that has held this movie from coming and the amount of miracles that have happened for it to come out and for this movie to do so well, I think it's beyond us. I think this is spiritual warfare. And I don't know how else to look at this.
When you talk about anger, right? When you talk about anger, because I was sitting there with Nelson and Samantha, and I'm watching this. I don't got kids, but I'm sitting there. I'm angry as right. I was like heated in the movie. I was heated. I was getting angry like that part where
I get it,
because like you felt for that father, like when he brought the kids to the acting, you know, to the room to get the headshot, and they said no parents. Oh, okay. He leaves and comes back, and then he's like, "Where the fuck are my kids?" Like the room's empty and they're gone.
You felt that desperation.
And that's where I was like, damn, I was like, A, this was good acting, but this was real life. You know what I mean? Some like people, this guy went through that. You know, the character, like the real guy went through this. Parents go through this when their kids get stolen from them. And that defeated, you just felt everything. And I was like, damn. Like for a movie to bring that out, like
I cried through the whole freaking thing. Well, you're I was female, like,
no, I yeah, cried no, too, man. Know, I did. No.
Let me tell you, that's what I was going to say. Because first of all, I'm so surprised that the Spanish channels have been talking about this movie like never before any other movie. And I was like, what? So I started watching it. So I started going to Telemundo, Univision. And I'm like, I need to see what's happening. How is this movie impacting, you know, the Spanish community? And a lot of, you know, the Spanish community is big in faith, right? Mm-hmm. Catholic, whatever. They're big in faith. And this movie was based on that. Like, you have to have some sort of faith for everything that you were doing to work out the way it did. And I think that's why this movie has touched so many people, because, you know, a lot of us have faith. We believe.
You know, Jules, to your point, you know, I think one of the points in the movie that, again, there's so many things that happen throughout the movie that are fact and happen in real life. So I don't know if you guys remember this, when Tim Ballard gets the little boy, Miguel, and he's giving him a hamburger at the restaurant, right? And he's starting to ask him questions to try to find out where he's been and all that stuff. And the little boy finds out that that Tim's name is Timoteo in Spanish. And the little boy goes, Timoteo. And then he shows him the necklace, right? And so on the necklace, I don't know if you guys caught this, but there's a biblical verse. And the biblical verse, that what it says is man of God, right? And so again, he took that as, oh my God, this is God talking to me, right? That I need to be a man of God, right? Mm-hmm. It motivated him to do that. In a way, actually, I think he found that out later when he got home or something like that, where he realized.
In the after credits, it talks about how his wife was the one that really kind of pushed him and forced him.
Yeah. Right, the medallion itself, like what was on it.
Right. Mm-hmm. It was just like another little symbol, another little hint or another evidence that God was talking to him and telling him, hey, you got to do this.
Think about it.
Yeah. Because what are the chances, right? That some random kid with his necklace has his name.
Right.
Well, I mean, you got to set it up. Remember, they set it up perfectly, right? Because think about how the beginning of the movie went, right? They were going after the pedophile, the guy, you know, out in Texas with the emails and everything. And his partner looked at him and goes, I don't think I could do this anymore. He's like, we look at this all day long. He goes, you know, we get the pedophiles. How many kids have we saved?
Right.
Right. And it started making him think. And that's where he started. He went to the guy and he's like, hey, you know, I need to talk to you. I'm really attracted, you know, and he put himself in that.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And then when he realized he didn't get him, well, he got the boy and then he got the necklace. And that was like that. Oh, shit. Okay. This is, regardless of my government pension and everything, this is what I need to do regardless. And then when the government was like, yeah, we can't help you. The government's basically like, dude, you're going to get minimum funding. And then when it got a little too much, like, hey, dude, you're cut off. You're on your own. He's like, all right, I quit. Here's my resignation. Like,
I think for me, another one of those good parts of the movie that, because again, it didn't have to go too deep into it. You understood, right? They implied it. And I think a lot of people, when I look online in the comments, people are like, well, I don't know if I can stomach that. I don't know if I should take my kids, you know, because I don't know. It's too, this content might be too hard. And what I think is, I think it's important to watch it. And one of the scenes that I think did well on this was when Tim Ballard has started reviewing the content. You guys remember that? And he has his eyes on the screen. They're not showing what he's watching. And then you see his eyes well up and then he starts crying and you knew, right? That I think that was the first time, you know, you're like, I'm like, oh my God, you know, because you understand what's happening and what he's witnessing and what he must be going through, because I don't think I could stomach anything like that. When the internets came out, you know, and you like that site, what Faces of Death, you know, there's certain things that human beings should not see. And I think that's one of those. And it's like, wow, how depraved are you? And what evil lives inside of you to do that to innocent people, right? Yeah. And so when you're exposed to that, you know, again, I like that the movie did that. It didn't have to show anything. It didn't have to give you any sounds. All it had to do was show you that what he was going through. And
there's a fine line. There's a fine line with what you're going to put in a movie, right? Because even most people couldn't handle the true reality of what Hollywood puts out, and what it implies for these guys, for what they wanted, the message, the story they wanted to tell, the message they wanted to deliver,
right?
And the group, and again, the group, the majority of the group that has seen this movie, they've been following this for a long time, right? They, you know, the whole movement, so they understand, right? And it kind of plugs some dots together for a lot of people without actually having to see it, because they do kind of touch into it without actually saying it or showing it, saying, you know, the things that are happening to these kids, you know, these pedophiles, like the, you know, rape them, do, you know, all this stuff. So they kind of mention it in the movie, but they don't, you never have to see it, right? Even down to the final scene when the guy's like, oh, I'm going to keep you company, you're scared. And then that's when he fucking kills him, right? The fucking El Chapo guy. And here's the thing about that scene. They actually did go to Colombia to film that.
Yeah.
They went to that site. They went into the guerrilla territory and they blended in to get shots.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, what I also noticed, when I was watching the movie, and, you know, I was bawling myself, like I was uncontrollably crying, and I'm not even a parent. I don't have any kids,
but all I kept thinking
was, you know, the kids in my family, like just thinking if one of them goes missing, how do you come back from that? How do parents come back from that? So I started watching the people in the theater, like to see, you know, what reactions were happening. So I kid you not, every guy that was sitting in front of my row, this is all I kept seeing.
Yeah, that was me. I mean, that guy was just like, it's overwhelmed.
It was like, they were mad and they were crying. They were mad and they were crying.
This is
and
why,
I'm like, this is crazy.
Why they wanted to shelve this movie. This is why this movie was never supposed to be seen, because you know what? This isn't about right or left. This isn't about Republican, Democrat, or whatever the hell, all that shit. This is about innocent children being stolen. And we, the United States, is the largest consumer. Right. This hits home because this is our country that this is happening in. Kids are getting stolen from this country or, you know, South America. And they're coming up here because there's a lot of sick people that want this, right? And then you think about, oh, shit, my kid, I let my kid go outside and play. What if somebody just picked them up and stole them? What would I do? You know what I mean?
Phoenix in Arizona. Phoenix, Arizona, right now, I think is like one of the number one cities for this, highest rated cities for this. You can double check and see if it still is. But I know at one point it was.
It's bad.
And it is. And and I know when we first went in, as we were walking in, Jeremy, and I don't know who we were talking to, but Jeremy made the comment to somebody. He's like, it's just going to be another scare tactic movie. And I don't know that he felt the same way coming out of the movie, but I know going into it, he definitely kind of had this.
I that's a little misleading, but
you were skeptical a little bit.
There's TV shows and there's movies that are designed to scare women to think that their child is going to be abducted while they're driving, you know, driving down the street. And it's like, that's very rare. It is super rare. But these TV shows portray that it happens every day to everybody, right? It's just, I don't like that. That's the scare tactic, right? Obviously, this is an example of something that is still rare, but is definitely more, you know, occurs more often than we would really like, right? Obviously, zero is the best.
What did they say, 6 million kids?
And I disagree with Jeremy, but Jeremy doesn't also have the conversations I have, because the Mother's Day weekend, I know, like, talk about, you know, very close to home, but I know three young ladies who were tried to, somebody tried to nab them. One of them was at a dance convention that we always usually go and attend. Bella usually attends the convention. And a man went into the girl's bathroom and had her zip tied and duct taped, her mouth duct taped and her hands and legs zip tied. And two other dancers walked into the bathroom and heard and saw the commotion. And one stood there causing a scene while the other got an adult, and they were able to stop the little girl from being kidnapped, but the man got away. Same weekend in Scottsdale corridors. Like, these are, by the way, these are good areas of town. These are not where, you know, you can't stereotype, right? So Scottsdale corridor, same weekend, two little girls go into a bathroom. A woman is in the bathroom trying to get them to open the bathroom stall door. The girls start screaming and yelling. And while the girls are screaming and yelling, a man walks in talking to the woman, and they were trying to get the little girls out of the bathroom. And it, I mean, 12-year-old, 13-year-old girls.
It happens. It happens every day.
There's two of them. They can go to the bathroom. I mean, this is two in the same weekend and two people that we know through another person. Like, it's not, these aren't strangers.
It's a random person.
Yeah, it's not random. And it's not, so like Jeremy says that, and I get where he's coming from. You know, he talks about like the SVU and Law and Order and the Criminal Minds and all those things. But in reality, this is really happening, and it's happening at a much greater volume just here in the Phoenix area than we realize. And they're targeting where to find our kids. I mean, they're targeting dance conventions, you guys. That's freaking scary. Do you know how many parents drop their kids off and turn and drive off?
That's why they target them.
It's just, and then, like I said, Scottsdale corridor, little girls walking in to go to the bathroom in a public
Desert Ridge.
Place.
Desert Ridge is huge for, I found out. Somebody told me that Desert Ridge is huge for child trafficking. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
More children go lost to Desert Ridge than almost any other mall in
There was an incident when the Super Bowl was happening here in Westgate. Like, there was somebody who, I don't know, it was in the girls' bathroom. somebody was trying to take a girl, or they had already like put her to sleep or some bullshit. And somebody saw that that girl did not come in with that person. And like all these guys like tackled the shit out of, of the guy, and they ended up catching him. But yeah, it happens. Yeah. It really,
I did want to really back into to the movie. Because, you know, you guys are making great points that this is not just somewhere out in some remote village. You know, this is not this is closer to home, right? Mm-hmm. And having, you know, awareness of your surroundings, you got to be always, especially women, right? Especially young girls. You know, if you're not telling these to your young girls or whatever, you should be. So I did want to show you guys a little a clips of the movie that I think were really good. There is a part in the towards the beginning where Tim asks one of the characters, Vampiro. Vampiro was, you know, he was this big old money launderer, and eventually ended up in, you know, Colombia. And Tim asks Vampiro, hey, you know, why the, you know, the turnaround, you know, he changed his life from, you know, being involved with the cartel, you know, what, let me see here. Hold on, let me see if I can find it.
That was a great, great conversation.
I felt bad for that man. I'm not like, I know that he wasn't like the top of the, you know, the world's best
wasn't
man.
Wasn't a good guy.
He wasn't a good guy.
Yeah.
At the same time, he still had some level of morals, right? He's like, I thought she was 25. Like, and then to find out.
That's what he's going to show. But yeah, you know, to the point, it's like, even bad people know that this is wrong.
Right.
It's
like, you don't fuck, dude. Yeah. Dude, that's why I like that in that scene before you play it.
Yeah.
That's why in the scene when he's talking to the pedophile and he's like, look, if you don't help me, I'm going to put you in, you know, seawall, whatever that was, C block, and they're going to kill you because you know what they do to pedophiles there. Criminals, if you rape a woman, rape a kid or anything with like that, most of the time, you're going to die.
You kill a cop,
you're a hero in jail. You get like, you get a pass. But if you fuck with children and women like that, oh, no.
It's very true.
They have a code. Like, it's weird. They have a code.
Good.
All right. Let me play this clip here. I think this is one of the, this is one of those character developments, right? Like that the movie did well, the writing did well, because, you know, you hear his story and you're like, oh, my God. Okay, but.
This should be nominated for multiple awards. I know it will.
It should be, but it won't because they Hollywood
will never. They're going to try to still silence it.
All right, let me play this.
I had that condo on the beach, 15th floor, marble everything, overlooking the whole bay. First night out of jail, I slept in my own bed. Day two, I was back in business, same old life, but it. It doesn't feel right. Not the drugs, not the hookers. But damn it, if I didn't keep trying. So, one night, I'm leaving a bar all jacked up on coca, and I notice this young girl on the corner, fine looking, maybe 20, 25. Take her up to my place. We do the deed, pay the bill. She's putting on her shoes. And I notice something. I notice her foot. She's got these little pink cat faces painted on her toenails. And it hit me. She's not 25. And she glances up and her eyes connect. And it was like I was granted a glimpse into her soul. And all I saw was sadness. I don't know where she starts talking. Turns out she's not 25, not even 20. This girl is 14 years old. To Mateo. She's been doing it since she was 6. Looks at me, smiles, takes the money, walks out the door. All of a sudden, I'm hit by this tidal wave, this tsunami of darkness. And I know I'm the sadness in her eyes. Me. I'm the darkness. And I know the darkness has to die. So I get my 45. Put it to my head. Put my finger on the trigger. Now, if there is a time to ask if God exists, that would be it. So I did. When God tells you what to do, you cannot hesitate.
I love that scene, and I love it because it covers a few things. One of them is redemption, right? And the other one is, again, there's a lot of things that happen that you're like, was this real? Did this really happen? And it's crazy because, you know, if we think they're lying, okay, that's one thing. But if they're telling the truth, this is crazy. That God offers this guy an opportunity, you know, to change his life around and do good things. And if you read the story of what they ended up doing, they ended up rescuing, I think, together, him and Tim, I think it was 120 children. So, you know what I mean? Like, we can all look at somebody's life and say, you know, well, that person's too far gone. Forget them. Even a child who's gone through that, right? I think, what's her name? Amir, the girl who plays Catherine, Tim's wife, she's actually one of those people that isn't, you know, tries to help children in these situations. She tells a story about the, you know, where she looks at a child one day that she helps rescue, and the child, she, in her mind, she had like kind of written her off and said, she's gone through too much. She can never recover from this. She sees her years later, and that child is now going to give a speech in front of all these people, you know, big people like the Pope and a bunch of people. And she's like, wait, you're the same little girl, and you turned your life around. So, you know, I love that this part of the movie, because I think this makes it real, right? It's not just, you know, oh, we're all heroes and we're all this. No, there's people who have lived this and made bad choices in life, but now they're given an opportunity by God to redeem themselves. And I just love that message.
Think about recording the scene, right? Think about that. This is an intense conversation to have. You know what I mean? Like, even as actors, like, and you almost, and you could see, and they did a great job, because you could see even in their eyes, you could, like, was it Savito, whatever, you could see it in his eyes, like when he's just looking at him, listening to the story, you see like that depth in his eyes, like, fuck, dude, like you, you know, see, because think, he's going through his whole thing about also about quitting, yeah, his job and everything. But
I think why this movie was able to touch everyone. I think anyone who sees this movie will feel a certain way. And the actors, I think, were able to do that because they're passionate about this, because they believe in it. They know it's real.
And
you know, even if they have or haven't gone through it, you know, it's something that they are super passionate about it. And I think Tim did a great job choosing the people that you know, they did, because
he actually chose
somebody,
Tim,
who doesn't care.
Well, that's one of the, he said in an interview, yeah, I think with Jordan Peterson, he said, you know, why did you guys choose Jim Caviezel? And he's like, because I was told that he's a believer and he's a big fighter against, yeah, this stuff, right? Because he's been accused of being a QAnon.
He's a man,
right,
of faith, yeah.
Well, no, but even before that, he was, yeah, accused of being QAnon and all this stuff. And so that's why he was like, I want him to, yeah, protect me, because he believes it and he has a man of faith. Now, I did want to mention this, and this is something very interesting that the movie also covers. You guys remember that scene where Tim gives initially that investor guy who was going to help him, right? Set up the sting.
Yeah, and Pablo.
Pablo, yeah, yeah. And so he tells him, hey, you know what? He's like, and Pablo kind of, it's like, oh my God, this is too much, right? But he does something. Mm-hmm. Tim does something and he gives him a manila picture, folder.
Yeah.
And on it, you know, the thing says, forget the 50 kids. Think about the one, right? And he gives her the age, Rocio, age 11, sold into sex slavery. And that's what instantly changed his mind, right? And when I was researching this, I saw this commentary and I was like, this is really, really important to say. And this is actually interesting. And it's a psychological approach that what Tim Ballard did to Pablo, because there are studies that show that there is a strange thing that happens to the human mind when presented with large scale tragedies. And it's referred to as the psychic numbing or collapse of compassion. So apparently people's empathy or emotional response diminishes as the number of victims in a tragedy increases. And so, you know, and there was a big old discussion about this. And that's why when you hear, oh, you know, millions died in this, you know, and a lot of organizations know this, right? So and they've done tests, right? You show people a picture of a village that needs your help. People are not willing to donate. You show them a picture of a child. People are more willing to donate. And so again, it's this phenomena that happens in human psychology. And so this is a very strategic move by what Tim did with this guy, because he shows him a picture of a girl and says, well, don't worry about the 50. You know, it might be too overwhelming for you, but you can save one kid, right? Anyway, so I thought that was interesting, and it was something that the movie covered that I completely missed, and it wasn't until I went out and researched this that I was like, you know what, that is very true. When you hear a large number, usually you're like, well, it just, I don't know, there's a numbing that happens.
It's a tragedy. You're like, right. Okay, it happened, yeah. Whatever. But you know, but that's why, like, with those you know, children hunger, you know, for 10 cents a day, you mm-hmm. can have, and they always show some, like, poor little freaking girl, like, just sitting there, like, jacked up, and you're like, okay, I'll do it. You know, but really, you're helping. You know what I started realizing? All those organizations, I feel like, all these years, they've been, this is what was funding all of it. You know what I mean? And it's like, I've become very jaded to where it's hard for me to believe anything that any Hollywood person's behind, anything that mainstream media is behind, like anything that's mainstream. Like, I'm like, almost like, okay, there's like a hidden thing behind it. You know what I mean? When I see Hollywood get behind something, like, okay, you're full of shit. You're being told to do this for your image and whatnot. You don't care. You really don't care. You talk about climate change, but then you go fly on a private jet. Stop. Okay. You talk about defund the police, but you have all security. Like, you guys are a bunch of hypocrites because you think you're better than everybody and above it all. I can't. And I'm leery because, you know, take it down back to this, you know, from a border crisis, how all the NGOs are helping fund all the people coming up, all the kids coming in. You know, in the beginning, all you heard was children coming over the border with some fucking random dude. No, oh yeah, that's my dad. And they okay, go. Okay, we believe you. What? Like, you know. Like,
how many kids went missing under right now? Yeah. They invited missing 50,000 kids? Dude, missing. Missing.
Somebody in the Senate came out and said it. They go, Joe, it was either Senate or Congress, I forget which one. They said it straight up. They go, Joe Biden is responsible for the largest child trafficking ring in modern history. And I was like, damn, we're going there.
Tim, remember, this was a while ago. We had an episode where we talked about, you know, that whole Wayfair bullshit. Remember how were selling furniture and putting, like, the, you know, ridiculous amounts Children's of money? Name? Remember that shit?
That was from Q. You're welcome. Yeah,
they were selling Susanna nightstand for $12,000.
Yeah, pillows for $10,000.
Conspiracy. That was just... It was a typo.
Right. So the point that I want to make, right, was that, and then you had the CEO of that company was best friends with Epstein and fucking Ghislaine Maxwell. Yeah. Like, and when you would post this shit, the social media at that time was fucking removing that. Twitter was very big on removing that. They won't remove the porn, but they're going to remove that stuff that people were putting out because of disinformation. And again, remember Balenciaga, you know, the photo shoot of children. With fucking BDSM bullshit in the background. So, and so we're expecting these people to come out and support this cause. They're not going to do it. And who supports these people and who pays these people and who are these people paying? They're paying the Kim Kardashians and all these people who, to your point, Tim, they're not going to come out and support something like this, even though they'll fucking put their BLM, you know, black thing and their fist up and the rainbow flag and all this shit. Here's a cause that everybody can get behind and they won't because they've fucking been muffled, or you know what I mean? Like they have something.
They're fighting really hard. When this movie came out and right away it killed Indiana Jones 4th of July weekend, that Wednesday came and the numbers came out, all of a sudden the talking points come. Sound of Freedom, QAnon conspiracy. This is really not true. It's over-dramatized. Vice is trying to say they don't really do anything. This is all crazy. When you have so many media outlets trying to smear a movie based on child sex trafficking, you have to really look. And again, I'm not a very religious person, but I've actually started to have more come to Jesus moments later in the last couple months. You know what I mean? It's you're starting to realize that if you don't see that this is good versus evil at this point, this is why I say this ain't Republican versus Democrat. This is good versus evil. You can have a lot of good Democrats and a lot of good Republicans. You know what I mean? This is common sense.
To your point. Right. I'm a believer, obviously, and you know, but to your point, I think that it's not just here in the carnal world. This is also spiritual. And the reason I say this is because I don't know if you guys have seen any of these, but there's countless of videos on TikTok and YouTube and Instagram of people going to the theater and the theater either telling them that it's sold out and there's nobody there, the AC going out, the AC goes out only in that one theater, or the sound goes off, or they're playing. Mm-hmm.
You've heard stories of this.
Let me show you this. Because again, I honestly, Jeremy, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I have 12 different videos. Okay, of people at different theaters, predominantly AMC, which is weird. Entirely different theaters. Which with different problems only affecting the one theater that's showing the movie. And so then
go see the movie, was the volume really low?
No. We didn't have any issues.
Mine was
really,
no, it was problem. Really low. I was like, why is it so low? Like, I don't get it. And wow. Yeah, it was the volume was super low. Like, it was not what I was expecting. I'm like, why is the volume so low on this?
No,
and they played it like that through the whole movie.
That strange. Was perfect for us. I mean,
Jules, what theater did you go to? AMC?
No, we ended up going to which one was the one that Parkins. Was playing? No, the one on Westgate, which I freaking hate.
That's AMC.
Okay, AMC.
Yeah, there. Westgate's AMC.
Yeah, we went to Harkins. We don't go to AMC.
Yeah, me either. But it's the only one that was playing it at that time.
That was our biggest problem. We have to record this show on a Thursday. Normally we do it on a Wednesday night, but we had to do it on Thursday because Heidi and I were going to go see it Tuesday, but we couldn't find a theater anywhere near us. Dude. That had seats that weren't in the first or second row of the
audience. That was me, Nelson, and Samantha.
Yeah.
We had
to we can't do it Tuesday. We're going to have to go Wednesday. We ended up driving to Scottsdale in the 101.
Oh my God.
Which is like 40 minutes away from us.
That's far.
To see this movie because it was either.
And was it full when you got there? Was it full?
When we bought our tickets, the seats were sold out. Yeah, they were pretty much sold out. We were lucky to find two seats next to each other.
Yeah.
And that was earlier that day. I bought them, you know, at like noon or whatever that day. And the show was 7:15. But the shows around us, anything, you could go to like the 10 o'clock show, but it's like, you know, it's a Wednesday night. We got stuff to do, kids to take care of. And so, it was just, if you want to see this movie, obviously we all suggest, you know, we all recommend you go see it, but plan ahead because it's not one of those, let's go see the movie at 9 when it's 8:30. You know, that's not going to happen. Yeah,
same thing happened.
I just want to show you guys like the quick numbers here of how well it's doing, right? Like look at it, Mission Impossible, right? It's playing at 4,000 theaters. It's only making 1,000 something per theater. While Sound of Freedom is playing in less than 1,000 less. And it's beating out again, Mission Impossible. You know how much money they spent in advertising, marketing this
shit? This is a loss.
They just paying Tom Cruise more for that movie than they paid to make the entire movie
Son of Freedom. This movie cost $290 million to make, right? And that's just to break even, apparently. You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to, they're not at the pace to even get past that, guys. Not how quickly they're going down. And again, Sound of Freedom, just every week, every weekend, it's just doing better than it did the last weekend because it's word of mouth. And that's the great thing about this. And so, you know, while you're telling me your sob story, Jeremy, about you having to go all the way to Scottsdale, I look at it as a good thing for the movie,
it's not a sob story. I'm just saying.
I'm just kidding.
You want to go see it. Plan ahead.
Yeah, plan ahead. I agree because I was like, why isn't, like, it was either full or they weren't playing at a time that we needed to. But yeah, when they started playing the movie, it was super low.
Wow.
And I'm like, see, this is why I hate coming to this movie theater. But the volume was super low.
Well, it's consistent to what actually happened to everywhere else, because AMC was kind of, everybody was saying, why is AMC trying to, anyways, go ahead, Jeremy, Tim.
Yeah.
I'm just very shocked that all these theaters pretty much had the movie there, and minus some of these things that happened, but no protests, no fucking, no fights inside. Nobody was in that theater hijacking it.
Yep.
Because I think if that would have happened, I think they would have got the shit beat out of them, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah. Because everybody comes out pissed as fuck out of that movie.
Well, just even in the middle of it, if somebody tried to interrupt me, I think
give me a pedal to hit.
Show me a pedal. If you're wearing glasses with a long hair, I'm fucking you up. Because I know where you're coming from.
We often say that, you know, the left has kind of portrayed everybody as being racist, and Saul, you always says, what do you do to racists? You punch them in the face. Well, what do you do to pedos? You do a little more than punch them in the face. It'd be a bad idea to be messing with the people in that scenario, right?
All right, so I'm going to play some of these videos that happened. And again, guys, I have a ton of these because I knew that I was going to, you know, come up against a Jeremy who was going to be like, well, that's just one. Guys, I didn't get all of them. This is rampant. So let me just show you a few of these. That way you can guys get the picture.
Something isn't right here. I recently made a video talking about the strange occurrences happening to viewers trying to watch Sound of Freedom. Well, it's gotten worse. Just check out these people's experiences.
Tried going to see Sound of Freedom, and this happened. No one left until they played the movie. They tried to give us free tickets if we left. The screen is like flickering in the...
Yeah, digital displays.
There's no one in here. And then it said that they were sold out.
See, that blows my mind.
Fire alarm goes off and people still watch the movie. They can't stop the truth.
Have you heard anything about the other movie theaters? AC not working?
Like the other houses?
No, well, like around the whole country, different theaters. In this movie only, the AC doesn't work. It's like super stiff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you should look online. It's like, it's insane.
The thing is probably just, I don't know, I know it's been very
He's popular, a fucking pedo.
The more people you have in a theater, the more the...
We've been going to movie openings our whole life, and it's never happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and again, it could have been a fluke, but right there, you saw three different people. Again, I'm gonna play another one because I have a ton of these guys.
It's actually happening.
You are free passes to come back and see it again, hopefully without interruption. I unfortunately end up apologizing for the inconvenience, but we're getting it hopefully looked at later in the week.
Can I trust you?
Sorry, guys.
Really?
This is called intentional. Yeah. They don't want it to go to the box office gross. Don't take the money.
Yeah, so what they were doing is offering people, well, we'll redeem your, you know, or like refund your money or whatever. People are like, don't accept that because it's trying to manipulate the numbers. I'll show you more.
So my fiance and I just watched the movie Sound of Freedom that exposes sex traffickers. And do you want to tell them what happened in the movie theater?
All right, AMC, I don't know what's going on here, but first off, the AC was out. Like when we went to watch the movie, and I'd seen someone else post something
another
too
place.
That also saw it at an AMC, and their AC was out. And like as soon as we walked into the theater, it was hot as heck.
I literally brought a sweatshirt and I was like sweating.
And then we realized, like, it took us a while to actually realize it, but they didn't turn the lights off.
They literally had the lights on.
They kept the lights on the entire movie.
Who does that? They didn't want you to see this movie.
They let all the lights on?
Yes. You know, the side lights usually all go off, right? Yeah. Nope, they left them on like in a
they go dim. They don't go off.
No, the ours
they go off.
They have to leave that on.
They go. So they're when they're doing before the previews, right? When they're doing their advertisements, yeah. Whatever, the lights are on because people are moving in and out. When they start doing the previews, they dim the lights like halfway.
Yeah, but when the movie
when the previews are done and the movie comes on, they dim it down to like 10%, but the lights are still a little bit on because people do need to get up, go to the bathroom or whatever.
No, emergencies. They have the step lights.
No, they have step lights. The rest of them are on. Yeah.
Trust me, the next time you go see whatever.
I'm going to because I'm like, why are the lights still on?
So I'm just going to show you more again for the skeptical.
I came to AMC to watch the movie The Sound of Freedom when all of a sudden the lights started flickering. Then next thing you know, everyone was told that there was no movie that's going to be showing that night.
All these people could be liars. Let me show you more.
They turned all the lights on during Sound of Freedom.
Yes, see, those are all off.
See, all those lights are the runners
on the stairs are on, but the rest of them are off.
The movies play. Again, more. I had 12 of these videos. So I'm not going to bore you guys with these, but again.
You and everyone else in the nation. Wow. Wow. Hey, you also said you're sold out online.
Wow.
How come online it said all the seats were sold out?
They won't have. This is weird. Again, this could all be just big coincidence. I don't think I've ever been to a movie theater and the movie didn't play like something weird like that happened. And maybe again, it's the, you know, everybody's online and everybody's posting. Maybe, I don't know.
We had one.
Remember, they were doing the pay it forward as well, right? So people would buy the tickets for somebody that, you know, and then put it, you know, buy it on the side and people go to the website and redeem it. Don't bet your ass. These stupid trolls. There's evil people out there that could have went out there and reclaimed a lot of them thinking that, oh, we're going to play a game on people. Like, oh, we'll have empty theaters. But meanwhile, you just help the ticket sales. So that could have been something too.
I'm backfired.
Smart. No, because you have sick people that do this.
Right.
They'll redeem them, claim them, and then
all the pedals are united.
This is big, dude. This is bigger than people realize, man.
You know, it's crazy because now that this movie came out, I don't know. You know how sometimes something comes out and then you start like reading about it, a lot of more things start showing up. But like you were talking about Jason Aldean with his movie and the other guy, the one that came out with the one that says, I'm just saying something Woody. Like it goes, it touches the same, you know, like they don't care anymore. It's like we have like the silent people are now not being so
silent anymore. We're not silent anymore.
Yeah. And this is how we do it. We don't need to riot. We don't need to, you know,
you kill them. I've been saying it for the last 3 years. You kill them in the pocketbook. If you want to win, you have to bankrupt these people. Bud Light, Target, fucking Hollywood, Disney.
Yeah.
I mean, Disney Parks. I sent you guys that article.
Bud Light.
Like people like the parks are empty. I mean, they're full, but nowhere near to what they used to be. Right. You know what I mean?
Where they're losing money. They're losing a lot of money.
Almost $1 billion they're hemorrhaging right now. And they're not going to make the money that they spent. This is unsustainable. And they know this. And to Tim's point, he always makes this. It's a parallel economy. This is how we beat them. Yep.
Okay. So here's the deal real quick. As much as we're talking about the media and everybody trying to hold this movie down, play this link. Okay. That's coming through. Hopefully. Did you get it?
Yep.
Play that link because let's set this up. Sound of Freedom comes out and it's a QAnon conspiracy. But the same people that call it a QAnon conspiracy 8, 10 years ago fucking applauded Mr. Ballard and all his efforts on CBS. They did a whole fluff piece about how great this is. And all of a sudden it was great then and now it's not.
Right.
Why is that? Ask yourself that. So So listen to 3 minutes, but we could skip
last
through this.
Last weekend,
but
police broke up a major sex trafficking ring in Colombia, which has become a destination for tourists looking for sex with boys and girls. The police had help from an American who went undercover to rescue the children, and Elaine Quijano met him.
Tim Ballard has one mission, to track down child traffickers. 4 months ago, Colombian authorities asked him to investigate a tip that children were being sold there as sex slaves.
Within a half hour.
I think this is before Trump won, huh?
Oh, yeah. This was under Obama.
Yeah, exactly. That's why they as soon as Trump won, and yeah, anyway, go ahead.
I just wanted you guys to hear this because the mainstream media, up until a certain point, used to actually do journalism, and then they became activists. They all did beauty queen, boats, the sting operations, the house, everything. It's to the T. The movie might have did some over dramatization of it, right? Because it's a movie, but it looked the fucking same. Like, I'm looking at that video, that interview, and I'm like, I'm thinking about the movie, I'm like, I feel like, okay, this is the same thing. They're telling you the truth on the news 10 years ago, and now it's a QAnon conspiracy? Get the fuck out of here. That's how you know these people are evil. Can't talk about it.
It doesn't fit their agenda anymore.
Well, the one thing I want to complain, I have to put a complaint out there about this. Nowhere in the movie once did I see Barbie.
Wait, what?
So, why Barbie? Just a little backstory on that. Heidi may have giggled on that one. So when we pulled up, we parked in the parking lot at the theater, and we get out, and I see these girls walk by. Of course, it's North Scottsdale, right? They're wearing high heels, they're in their dresses, they have their big, you know, sun hats, whatever on. And I'm like, that's a little dressy for the movies. And Heidi's like, oh, well, maybe they're going to a bar, maybe it's ladies night or something. I'm like, oh, okay. So we get closer to the theater, and there's some more of them. And we get even closer to the theater, there's some more of them. We get inside the theater, and it's packed full of these women wearing pink dresses, high heels,
Barbie attire.
They're all there to see the Barbie movie. I guess the Barbie movie had an early release or whatever. Yeah,
they always come at out that theater. Wednesday night.
Yeah. And so the whole place is filled with people wearing Barbie shirts, Barbie, you know, just all dressed up. And I'm just like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Think about this. The 40-year-old single woman that loves Barbie still is the same person that goes to Disney.
Yeah. Cat ladies.
I would suggest whoever, you know, put your political parties aside, you know, don't think of it as, oh, you know, this, the Republicans or the Democrats, you know,
they can't.
These are, you know, innocent people. They're, you know, that saying just, and it makes me cry because it's so sad, you know, and it's so true that God's children are not for sale. Mm-hmm. You know, they're the ones that are a reflection of who and what God is and what heaven is, you know, and this is what we do to them. It's just, it's not right. And, you know, I think it's time to not think of it as, oh, it's another movie, but kind of wake up a little bit, put a little bit more attention to what's going on. And, you know, think about the kids in your life, that this is reality. It could happen in a blink of an eye. And, you know, just put your political parties aside and do some digging to, and, you know, I'm crazy as there are, you know, I'm a Q person. And that was one of the big things, you know, protect the children, you know, protect their children. And here we are, you know, let's think about this real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
And because I know you want to close it, think about this quick. We talk about the children and it's all about the children, right? A lot of people have seen this movie now, right? Number one, we still have no idea whose names were in that black book that the U.S. government has that they sealed. They will never investigate a single name in that book that was on that island doing this shit to children. Okay. The Biden administration, just the other day, somebody went on there, they scrubbed anything related to child trafficking off their website. There's an evil that's within our own government. within every aspect of our lives. And people act like this is just write it off. You can't. You have to see this. It has to be in front and center. Because you know what? At this point, if you're not speaking up against it, it's almost like you're complicit and you support it. That's how I'm seeing it. Because there's no gray area with this. There's zero gray area with this. There's no gray area. You're either for it or against it. There's no in between. Yeah. There's no in between.
And this actually does hit close to home. You know, I remember at the theater, I got emotional. I mean, because you know, it's something that's it's not out somewhere in some other country, some remote village, guys. This is happening here. It's happening in our country. And you know, like I said, it angered me, and it filled me with hope and with a new resolve to make sure that, you know, we don't stay quiet about this. But I did want to say something about, and you said this point, Tim, earlier, and I think most of us have been making it. And it is, you know, where the F is Hollywood? Where is our government? Where are those movie stars? You know, how often do you guys see them putting fucking their BLM colors and their flags, and you know, they're all these advocating for all these groups, minority groups. However, they seem completely and suspiciously quiet and absent when it comes to this issue, right? And an issue that I think anybody can behind. I said that I can get behind. I've said this over and over again. Human trafficking and modern day slavery affect over 50 million people, including millions of innocent children who are trapped in bondage, slavery right now. They say this in the movie. This staggering number surpasses any previous period in history of slavery, dude. This is what's crazy about it. We're living in this time, and you know, it's gone far beyond what in our past, how many people were in slavery. Surprisingly, the celebrities are, again, strangely quiet. They're not saying anything on their social medias. You know, they're not posting anything. They have millions of followers. They could very well create awareness for this. And because what are they doing? They're engaging in fucking other topics. So, you know, telling you to go eat bugs and, you know, you're polluting the atmosphere or whatever. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And again, the movie Sound of Freedom sheds a light on the horrifying reality of human trafficking. And it's not receiving the attention of all these big old stars like the Kardashians, the Robert Downey Jr.'s, the Ariana Grande's, the J-Lo's, all those other people, Beyonce, none of them are saying anything, and they're staying quietly. However, nevertheless, we the people have the power, and we are showing it by the numbers. Look at the numbers of the box office.
Yeah,
we don't need them. You know, we don't need their endorsement. We don't need their, you know, approval to talk about this movie. I think this is an opportunity where this movie is a catalyst for change, and it's going to create a movement. You know how, you know, Jules, we talk about Q and how it just was, you know, like a wildfire. It just went out. I think this movie has a power to do just that. And I wanted to show you one more video here of why I believe this movie is having an impact, and not just an impact on everybody. This is having an impact specifically on the Gen Z, because I saw many videos of Gen Zers who are on TikTok who went to see this movie out of curiosity, and they went directly through their TikTok. Not these celebrities, not these other people who are, no, these are people who have gained fame on TikTok who went online and said, I just saw this movie. Let me show you one video. Again, this video represents just a sliver of what I've been watching on TikTok. And this should give us hope that the next generation might wake up to this insanity and might give us hope. Okay, so let me show you this video. You guys see my screen?
While you look for it. The other song I was trying to mention before is I'm Just Saying by Austin Moody.
I gotta hear that one. I haven't heard it.
It's a great song. Yeah. Support it. It's a great song.
All right, let me play this video.
Not to change the subject, but do you guys know what happened on this day? Mm-mm. 54 years ago?
July 20th? No.
July 20th, 1969?
Reading Rainbow?
Apollo 11 landed on the moon.
Oh,
right.
Oh.
That is cool.
It's like, oh, it's like International Moon Day or something like that.
Nice.
Oh.
Yeah. So just a little pick me upper, but yeah. Let's go ahead and listen.
Let me play this video again. Gen Z gives me hope. Oh, by the way, this video, let me see how many views it has now. This video, I think the last time I saw it was had 3 million views. It's about to hit a million likes. Okay. So again, just to show you.
I just came back from the movies and I saw The Sound of Freedom. And I just want to say, like, first of all, if you haven't watched it, go fucking watch it. Sorry, I had to change my shirt. But anyways, this is, it's fucking sex trafficking, you guys. It's sex trafficking. Little kids, there are so many things that I didn't know. And I feel shitty for being oblivious because this is the real world. This movie was so hard to watch where you had people all the way at the top of the theater literally sobbing that you can hear them from the bottom. And that is literally the lightest that we will see. Like, a movie that is released, they will never show you what happened in the real world because they just can't. But literally, it's like their little fucking hands, bro. Their little hands, their little feet. How could you, like... How sick do you have to be in your fucking head? You know what I mean? Like, I have 6 fucking siblings. If anything, I thank God every day that he spares every single one of us. And I hope he continues to do so. I thank the universe, whoever the fuck is out there. And I literally... it's $125 billion industry, and I didn't fucking know that. This movie nobody wanted to release it. No actors wanted to work for it. If you watch it, you're gonna notice that there's no actual fucking actors, like big actors on the, yeah, no, they didn't want to fucking take it. And on top of that, this movie, it was made 5 years ago by Fox, and then Disney bought it. I think that's how it was, and then Disney didn't want to release it, right? Fuck them. I just don't get it. Like, they're little kids. Little kids, it doesn't matter how old you fucking are. How could you do that to another human being? Like, literally, how? Like, what goes to your mind? What goes to your fucking mind, you sick fuck, bro? Like, genuinely, I don't know what to support or, like...
All right.
Like, how to help, because...
I'll leave it there. Again, you get the gist of this girl. Sure.
Literally.
Her desperation. But saw many of these videos, yeah.
That's great, yep, that she's speaking like that. Because these kids don't talk like that. They give two shits about what's going on.
Again, who I think Jim Caviezel says this all the time in interviews, and he's like, you know, there's been points in history, and I think about the slave trade, right? I forget who he said wrote a book that inspired the nation to abolish slavery. Oh, and yeah. I think this movie has the opportunity to do just that, because you're looking at the numbers. Again, it's growing exponentially. More people are watching it. And it's just spreading like wildfire, which is good. We need to bring awareness to this, and the world needs to know.
Yeah.
And it needs to stop making an end to this.
Yeah.
2 points.
That's like they said, right? The storyteller. The storyteller.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The 2 quick points. One, did you hear what he said today on, you know, what his new, Caviezel's new shtick is? And it's hilarious. He goes, I told Trump, he goes, you're Moses, but I'm still Jesus, because he played Jesus in Passion of the Christ. He goes, Trump is the only one. He goes, Trump needs to be the one. He's Moses. Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy is like, wow. Okay. Second point, it was announced that Turning Point Action over the weekend, Posobiec is going to be releasing a documentary, like I think maybe a couple part series on the sex trafficking out in what's going on in Ukraine. That it's a big market right now.
Mm-hmm.
I can only imagine
the Bidens have their hands deep inside in there.
Where do you think all that money's going?
Oh, yeah, we know where it's going.
We're not helping a fucking war, please.
Shit, just all that shit came out today anyway. Anyway, but it is getting a big traction. A lot of conservative ink is now behind it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Outside of Alex Jones.
All right. We're going to leave it there, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on another episode of The Salty Show. Find us on some of the social media platforms, give us a follow, hit the like button, and share some of the content, and we will catch you all next time. Bye.
Guten Tag.
Peace out.
See ya.
God's children ain't for sale.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Salty Show.com.